live from the HananiahAutos.com studio. This is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank.
Bring me some chocolate pudding.
Jaguars Monday starts right now.
At the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli here in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist, is down in Fort Lauderdale. CBS Sports Studios. The Jaguars win 22-20 on a walk-off field goal by Jason Myers in Baltimore. They improved to 3-6. We'll break all of that down. The offensive
I'm glad he made
play.
That. Otherwise, I thought he was going to be walking home.
Oh, he would have been walking home.
No doubt. I think that we said that in the studio here, too, during the game. Big kick for Myers. Big win for the Jags. We'll go through the offense. Blake Bortles did not have a great day at all yesterday. The defense had three takeaways, another on special teams, so four takeaways for the Jags yesterday. Some positive there, but not a lot of points off those turnovers. And a little lengthy injury report today as well, including a Jaguars defensive tackle who might be done for the season, which is unfortunate. That's Sendarrick
Before
Marks.
Getting all that, it's too much stuff right
yes,
there.
Yes, okay,
I mean,
great.
JP, you should not say all that at once.
Well, I'm just saying what's coming up. I'm previewing the show.
Set producer Tony Baselli.
That's too much.
Yeah. Captain Sunshine producer.
I got a question for you, Pete. Why, and I know it's a rule, I've always known it's a rule, but I don't know why it's a rule. Like, I understand why most things are a rule in the NFL, but why is it a rule you can't return a muff punt? Like, what is the purpose of that rule?
Well, it's always been that way.
I know, but why, I wonder. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
it's a turnover.
Balls out, touch it, you should be able to get it and go. I've never understood that one either.
Now, a fumbled punt, you can. If he has possession,
right.
Possession.
I don't understand why a muff punt. I've never understood that. When I was a player, I always thought, I'm like, why can't you return it? But
Well, he didn't know either. And yeah, obviously, so tried to return it. When
no
in doubt, go ahead and run.
Oh, yeah, take off.
Absolutely.
Officials might make a mistake.
Well, they always. I sat there yesterday. I said, it's a muff punt. I mean, you can't return it right away.
And yeah, we all knew that. Yeah. What'd you think of the game overall, Pete?
Sloppy. I thought it was real sloppy.
Offense was bad.
Really bad. And it just didn't never got going. And, you know, to me, and every week I come on our show and I say down here and I say, look, I think this is the week Julius Thomas gets going, and they all laugh at me. And you know what? They're laughing. They can continue to laugh because he can't get it going. What? I don't know why, but he just can't get going. Is he slow? Is he sluggish? Is he heavy? Whatever, and I'm sure we'll get into it today. But, yeah, it was real sloppy by the offense. Bortles didn't play very well. They didn't run the ball very well. And on defense, I thought guys got after it a little bit. You know,
I mean, he still can't rush the passer, but besides that, they play well.
Yeah.
Devon House had a great game.
Yeah, and goes back to why was he benched.
Pete, why do you want to live in the past? I like to look forward.
Well, I mean, did the benching
– maybe it helped.
Really? Do you believe that?
That was the idea Gus had behind it. Hey, you got to learn how to play a whole game, right?
Last 2 weeks, he's played really well.
He has played really well. And you know, I think 37 starting to – flash a little more as a player in the last couple weeks. Not great, but a little more.
Speaking of Jonathan Cyprian, of course.
Yes,
I thought, and we said it early in the broadcast, it just seemed like Blake was off. He was not comfortable at any point in that game that I think. He was throwing late, off target. I thought he felt pressure that wasn't there a couple times, something he does not do.
He had a few batted at the line as well.
Because he's jumping around all over the place. Yeah. I mean, one time, Blitz picked up, perfect protection. No one covers Mercedes Lewis, and Blake never throws it to him. He looks left, Mercedes is the right, but instead of the left being covered, scanning back to the right, he gets antsy because the Blitz is coming, but it's picked up. I mean, that's just one example. And he did things that he has not done. Which can happen. I mean, guys have bad games, and he just didn't play great.
Yeah, it wasn't a good performance by him. And he's had his games where he's been really good. He's had his games where he's been okay. And yesterday just was kind of blah. But he made a few plays. I mean, it wasn't like he was.
He got his face masked.
Yeah, that was the number one play of the day, right?
Great play.
Play of the game.
Although it was genius that he threw his face out there.
What the hell was he doing on that play? Did he slip?
Yeah, he slipped down because he was
trying to. No, he didn't slip. He tripped.
Yeah, he was going to try to
throw it. It wasn't a slip.
He
it
just
was a
tripped over himself.
He just tripped over his feet.
He's going to try to throw a Hail Mary on fourth down, but nobody was going downfield either. So that was a whole different situation.
Let me ask you this. Does that go down in the books as a game-winning drive for the quarterback?
Yes.
Sure does.
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
it's fourth.
See, that's why those kind of stats are always misleading, right? I mean, they're always misleading. That's not a game-winning drive for him. That drive was awful, by the way. It wasn't even. There was no rhyme or reason to that drive at all.
Worked.
Let's break down.
They drew it up, Pete. Get down, midfield, panic at the end, get a face mask, kick a 53-yarder.
Let the big leg do it.
And why did they drive the ball in that drive? I mean, that's something to me. See, if I was the coach.
There was no one open.
No, but you got to take some kind of shots. You can't
throw I agree with that. No, you have to take a chance, but there was nothing.
Let's break down this last sequence. He was almost picked off on second down, by the way. Should have been picked off. It would have won the game for Baltimore. Thomas caught the ball on third down with like 9-8 seconds. Clock's moving.
No, 14.
Was it 14?
Yes.
Clock's moving. They got to get back to the line of scrimmage. He hands the ball back to the official. Wisniewski's looking at the clock, not listening to the quarterback or seeing anything else, he said today. And he got to 1 second and snapped it no matter what.
That's a heady play by him. Heady play by Wisniewski.
Yeah, and it worked. Bortles tripped, got up. Doomerville face mask, 15 yards. Myers after the timeout. Kicks a 53-yarder to win it.
It was unbelievable. I mean, I was pounding my head against the table because I could not believe after getting four turnovers and playing that poorly, we were going to give a game away. That was my thought process. And I was thinking, what do you say now? Because defense played great, got to turnovers, and offense was just out of sync. Blake was out of sync. I thought it was interesting at one point, Pete, Blake wasn't playing great. The run game wasn't terrible. I mean, Yeldon only had 18 carries. I think you could have given him a little bit more. It wasn't great by any means at all. One of the worst holding calls ever, and that's a whole other story against Mercedes Lewis. But at one point when Blake was struggling, Pete, 10 straight plays were called pass plays. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. You think it's trying to get him out of the funk?
I don't know. I mean, I think Greg Olsen's done a great job all year, and I don't even know if I'm being critical of it. I just was. No, I'm not really. Because you can ask Joe, who's sitting there. I stopped in the game, and I asked Frank. I said, Frank, go count the play-by-play list, because it doesn't feel like. It feels like we've. I don't want to say abandoned the run, but we're just throwing the ball, even with a quarterback who's struggling a little bit right now. Maybe he was just trying to get him out of the funk. Maybe they weren't comfortable with the looks they were getting run game-wise. I don't know what it was, Pete, but I thought it was interesting. It was enough to catch my eye during the game.
Well, I mean, that's always something to catch your eye when you're a team that's, you know, with a quarterback who's struggling and you don't run the ball to try and get him out of it. Now, sometimes that can work to your advantage, though. Sometimes, Tony, you can let him play himself out of the struggle, you know. I mean, that can work, too.
Is that what they were trying to do with Peyton yesterday, your boy Peyton, Pete?
Oh, he was awful. Why do people take great delight?
No, it pains me. I like Peyton Manning. It pains me to watch this happen. I hate it.
But you got to admit, though, the majority of people out there take great delight in watching him.
Yeah, because we have most of the people are bad, just miserable people. They like seeing people fail. I don't like seeing people fail. I hate that for Peyton Manning.
And we'll
but I think he's done, unfortunately.
I wrote that today. And I'll be honest with you, Tony. I wrote when I talked to him last year after the Colts game in the playoffs. I got him on the side, and I was talking to him, and I was watching him with his kids. And I swore up and down I thought he was done then. He just didn't look like to me that he was coming back. And he was bad that day, too. And I don't know. It's bad.
We'll get that later. Let's go back to the Jaguars.
Yeah,
so
let's go back to the Jaguars.
Sorry,
because
that was my fault.
I don't mind trying to play a guy out of his slump. You know, or play a guy out of something that's not going well. But this is a young team, and at some point you got to try and maybe run the ball a little bit. And you know me,
you know what I think it is, too, Pete? I don't think they have a lot of confidence. And this is just looking about the way the rotation is in any other backs besides Yeldon to run it. And so I think they want to limit his carries. And I think
Bernard Pierce was not available yesterday during the game.
He got hurt, right?
Got hurt in pregame warmups.
Which is amazing to me. How did that happen? How do you hurt?
Calf injury is what it was.
I guess.
Called.
I never moved fast enough from pregame. That's why I didn't like pregame warmups. I thought it was a waste of time. So I wonder if it's just a, you know, they like TJ, but they're not in love with anything after that. And they just, want to limit his carries, and they know they only have so many carries in him a game. And
yeah, but you can't go 11 if that's not if that's the case. You don't go 11 straight plays with a pass, Tony. That's not why you do that. I don't think. And what happened to Robinson? I mean, is he since he came back, he's not the same guy, right? I mean, he just looks different.
Denard, he hasn't got a lot of reps. And, you know, he's already a guy who has limited experience playing running back. So, you know, it's probably, you know, just lack of reps, lack of opportunities. I get one carry, Pete. So it's not like you even have a very large sample size to see what he is or what he can do.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about this during the game yesterday, Tony. And it could go either way. That game clearly could have gone or should have gone the other way. But they could have won the game in New York against the Jets, too. And I'm sitting there thinking, damn, Bocelli was almost right on his 5-5 guarantee.
I'm almost tempted to make another guarantee tonight.
Oh, no, really?
Tony, but I don't want to.
Don't do it.
I'm telling you, Pete, I got a feeling.
You want me? What's your guarantee to go into the post?
Well, let's hold on. Hey,
because I've been saying that down here, and I've been getting a lot of crap from it from everybody in my studio. Okay?
I'll tell your whole studio to shut up.
Jaguars might go to the playoffs.
I don't know if we're going to hear that from Tony tonight or not. He might have a huge prediction.
I might have a guarantee. I'm thinking about it.
We'll see how the night goes here, Pete.
By the way, if they made the postseason, it might be the worst playoff team in the history of football.
I don't know. That Seattle team was pretty bad, but beating
That Seattle team was on – no. Well
– was what? They were
well,
bad
also,
enough
won,
to beat New
that
Orleans.
That Seattle team won a playoff game, too.
Yeah, and we would, too.
There you have it. You heard it here
first. If we get in, we're winning a game.
Tony just went back in the time machine to 1996 again.
I like it.
Hey, Pete, I said it last night, and I'll say it again before we go to break. In 1996, I'm not comparing this team to 96. I guess I am a little bit.
You are, actually.
You remember in Baltimore, we were 4-7. We go to Baltimore. The game's over, and somehow Vinny Testaverde gives us another chance. Kick a field goal to go to overtime, and then win it in overtime. A game that we should not have won. You remember that game up in Old Memorial Stadium?
Oh, yeah.
You remember we had no business winning that game.
No, but Vinny Testaverde fumbled.
He gave it to us. Like, they're running out the clock, he fumbles.
Right.
I mean, how does that happen? I have no idea. The game was over. We're sitting on the sideline. And we won that game, and everything else is history. Sometimes games like this, games you should not win, you steal, especially on a young team, it just – even if you don't realize it, it just changes momentum. It changes something, and you can really you can get on a roll from it.
So you're
know.
Wait. Here's compare. Okay, 1996. They went to Baltimore, got a gift for a game, got a victory, used it to go, and the young team, young players, grabbed it and went to the championship game.
This year, now you're following me. Now you're following.
This year they go to Baltimore. They get a gift win off of a fluky play, and now a young team they can build on and go and get to the championship game.
I didn't say championship game. I've not said championship game.
You said one playoff win.
No. I've not guaranteed a playoff yet.
Oh, that's true.
I said if they get in,
okay,
they'll win. But I have a different guarantee I'm thinking about.
Okay,
right now.
We'll get to that coming up. Plenty left to get to. Plenty of guarantees left in Tony tonight.
Yeah.
Here
not
on
worth
Jaguars
much, but they're there.
Monday. Get ready for the bold rush. Come to Thursday Night Football this week when the Jags face the Titans. Use your ticket for entry to the tailgate featuring a live concert, craft beer fest, and the NFL Network pregame show. For tickets, visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. The bold jerseys are available. Go to jaguars.com, click on the shop, or here on Thursday night at the Jaguar stores at Everbank Field. Yeldon and Bortles are available for purchase. Look at the Jags offense. Jags defense had a big day yesterday as well. And your call's coming up in the second hour tonight. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, my message to him was, after the game, was, were you at your best? Were you at your best yesterday? And he said, no, he wasn't. And I said, and how was the outcome? You know, we still won. And I think that's a valuable lesson for him and a young quarterback, in that to think that the only way we got a chance is if I'm played lights out. Well, that's not the case. Now, go be your best, but I think that's important for him, just the mindset that we're creating for him to play with that freedom.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley this afternoon discussing his comments with Blake Bortles after the game yesterday in Baltimore. Jaguars Monday continues.
Great message.
J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, and Pete Prisco, your call's coming up a little bit later tonight.
Hey, does it drive you crazy when I interrupt you like that?
Yeah, that's okay, though.
I love it.
I'm used to it now.
I enjoy it.
I enjoy watching you eat all these snacks, I'll be honest with you.
You're a walking interruption.
I am. It's a bad
habit. Interrupter.
Yeah. I have a bad habit. It's a bad habit. I don't think it's going to change, but it's a bad habit.
Isn't that your nickname? Didn't some caller last year call you the interrupter?
I don't know. I've been called a lot of things.
So. Yeah. No, I nicknamed him that.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. Yeah.
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 Tony, what snacks are you gobbling up over there?
Oh, let me tell you, Pete. He's got almonds, he's got Skinny Pop, and he's got yogurt.
Yep. Not bad. That's
no.
Good.
I'm trying it. Bad, and
you should have seen the spoonfuls of yogurt he's putting down.
I'm not getting into what I ate this weekend.
I want to know what you ate in Baltimore.
No crabs.
No?
What's wrong with you?
Let's do it quickly because there's more important things to talk
they
about.
They were too good. They're too good for him to eat crabs.
No, I went to another Italian restaurant.
Oh, God. Why do you do that to yourself?
Pete, it was so good.
You do look bigger.
Where'd you go? In Fells Point?
I don't know where it was, but it was good. Gosh, it was good. I had what I have. I had everything: calamari, little mozzarella with tomatoes. The garlic bread was out of this world.
What was your main course?
It was called veal Genoa. It had little veal cutlet with some peppers and shrimp over like a light red sauce with some penne on the side, and then I asked for an extra side of gnocchi with some meat sauce.
Oh, that gnocchi is like a lead weight, man, in your stomach.
I love gnocchi, though. Gosh,
that potato. Oh, I don't like that. I'm not a big potato guy.
Well, and I had a Caesar salad, too, to start with, by the way.
By the way,
it's
Genoa.
Genoa. I don't really care what it was. It was good.
But right, Genoa. Let's move on. You're only Italian, Vaselli. You don't know the difference between Genoa and Genoa?
Genoa.
Yeah. Great. Let's continue.
And then we got dessert. That was a mistake. Mm.
Let's continue on offense. We've mentioned Blake Bortles' day.
Let's go back to that. What Gus said to Blake.
Yes, you like the message.
I love the message because I think it's important. Because I think I do think Blake presses sometimes to make plays, which part of me loves because he's always trying. I mean, he's a competitor, man. He's making.
But like last week, the play where he made some bonehead play.
One play stands out to me yesterday is he's rolling out of the pocket. He's outside. He's trying to make a play. It's second and four. And he takes a sack. It's like, throw it away. It's like, if I was an offensive lineman, I'd have gone up and grabbed him by the face mask and said, throw the ball. But at the same time, and Pete, I know this is your mentality. You love that, too, because the guy's making plays and trying to press the ball down the field and trying to get the big plays, which is – it's so much easier to rein a guy in than try to push him to do that.
Well, the other thing, too, Tony, is for much of this part of this season, he's been the guy making the plays to carry the team. He's had to overcome a lack of a pass rush. He's had to overcome some poor protection. He's had to overcome some bad running game days. I mean, so it's been him. So at times I think he does press because there's nothing else at times
is
going right. So
that's why I love the message. That's why I like the message.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the message is you won the game even when you played like crap. But
it's a great message. No, that's not the message, Pete. You don't listen.
That's the message that it should be.
No, the message is listen. You don't have to put this whole thing on your back. It's not dependent on just you. Just go be your best, do your job, be the best you can be. But don't think this thing. You know, is 100% dependent on you having a great game every week. That's not the message. That's the message. It's a great message for a young player.
Most of the time it is, though, dependent on him having a great game. And that's the league. That's the way it is. I mean, the New England Patriots are dependent on Tom Brady having a great game every week. Are they not?
No, I don't think he has. Tom doesn't have to be great.
I mean, 300 yards is and two touchdowns is not great, but that's damn good. Blake Bortles needs to throw for 275, one turnover, two or three touchdowns a game.
But I think he can do that, allowing the game to come to him more. I think that's my point, Pete. Not that he doesn't need to play good. I mean, that's his job. I mean, everyone wants to play good. But I think the overall message is like, listen, don't press. Just let the game come.
Tony, I didn't see the 22 tape, but just watching the TV, were they having problems getting separation outside?
At times, there was some good man coverage. But there's some times that I thought Blake could have let it go, that there was enough separation. And he did at times. That's the other thing. I couldn't figure it out, Pete, I'm going to be honest with you, because a couple times, he was on target. Guys, I mean, tight man coverage, but well-thrown balls, on time, guys coming out of the break. You know that. That's how it is in man coverage a lot. You got to trust your guy. And sometimes he held it a little bit. So, but the Ravens, you know, they manned up a few times and they got had good coverage. In a couple.
Well, Jimmy Smith is a good player who hadn't been playing very well.
I would have liked – the one thing I would have liked to see them do more, they did it only a couple times, maybe only once there, twice. Once it was incomplete, the other one was PI. They played enough press man. And a couple times I don't like to see Marquise outside. Just go run as fast as you can, throw it up. Let's go make a play. And we did it, and we've done that more this year, a lot. But for whatever reason, I only remember twice it happening where they took those shots and it, 50% success rate. One, you know, it was a PI, and the other time Jimmy Smith made a good play.
Tony, it looked like Marquise, he had Marquise in the middle when the ball was tipped at the line of scrimmage. That would have been a completion, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he had. Did Marquise get open?
Yes. He dropped it too, though.
No, I mean, for the most part, for the game.
Yeah, Marquise has a different gear. He just looks faster out there.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, they have a chance to be dynamic on offense going forward. They really do. I mean, again, I go back to Julius Thomas. They need to get him going. Some people are saying now that he's a waste of money. Was he a waste of money?
I think it's way too early to say that. It's only five games in, Pete.
Long contract,
and he's coming
too,
off, and right? He came off an injury.
Yeah, so it's way too early. You make those people in your business make dumb comments like this. This early. I'm not saying they're not right, but it's too early to even make it. It's a dumb comment.
I don't know. I saw Zach Miller go 75 yards yesterday.
Okay. after sitting out 3 years. Let's wait for that.
Got him. Back in a moment, we'll talk defense. Jaguars had a good day defensively with four takeaways, total three on defense, another on special teams. Park, ride, and relax. JTA Stadium Shuttle makes game days more enjoyable with hassle-free trips to the stadium. For ticket details and parking information, visit jtafla.com. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
There were six times the defense, Baltimore's offense, was in between the Jacksonville 33 and the 45-yard line, which isn't exactly how we had it planned. But all six of those times, they didn't get a point, which I thought was a big part of the game. Now, they scored on other drives, but those six occasions, not to come out with at least a field goal for them, credit to the defense. And sometimes there was turnovers, stops on fourth down, things like that that took place.
Gus Bradley discussing the Jags' defense yesterday in the 22-20 win over the Baltimore Ravens. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday continues. By the way, Jaguars All Access TV tonight on Channel 4. Mark Lamping, Jaguars president, is the guest.
Outstanding.
To discuss the Thursday night game coming up and the possibility of the indoor facility and amphitheater. That I think there's a big vote coming up. I think tomorrow by the city council, if I remember right.
I thought it was this week
at some point.
I think it might be in committee this week.
Then
I think first week of December.
There you have it.
I think.
They
can have their big celebration when you get into the hall, Tony, at this amphitheater.
Oh, that's a good call. Yeah, I like that.
As long as you come, Pete.
I'll be there front and center.
If I make the hall, Pete, are you going to come front row?
Yeah, hell yeah. Of course I will.
You're going to present him? No. Who's going to present you?
I'm not talking about this right now because I'm not in the Hall of Fame. I haven't even made it. What's the next stage? The 25? I haven't even made that. So
you know what you ought to do if you did make it, Tony? You have your kids fight it out to see who can present you.
Yeah, like Oklahoma drill on the stage.
No, like put them in the room together and one comes out and he's the one that presents you.
With my boys, that wouldn't be good because they might neither come out.
Oh, it'll probably be Tom, right? Tom Coughlin.
Well, they don't have football. They don't have football anymore since you guys didn't make the postseason, right?
Huh?
You didn't make the postseason, right?
No, we're done. Yeah,
that's what I thought.
It's over.
Come on, Brunel. Let's get that team going.
It's over.
Huh?
Bad coaching. Bad coaching.
Did you guys even make the postseason?
We did not, Pete. Thank you for reminding me.
All right.
That's unfortunate.
But, yeah.
Jaguars All Access tonight at 7 on Channel 4. So DVR it. Watch it later after this program is over. So defense yesterday. Three takeaways on defense, another on special teams on the muff punt recovery. But the two interceptions by House. You said he had a great day earlier, Tony.
I thought the last 2 weeks he's played well. You know, everyone, you know, you give up the touchdown to Brandon Marshall. That wasn't a touchdown because the ball hit the ground and moved. But we won't talk about that. And he has been a guy you match up with. And he really didn't have to match up this week as much. He did a little bit. They matched him up on Aiken. But he has played very good press coverage. And he's a good man-to-man corner. And got two picks. Should have had three. He dropped one. He's playing at a high level right now. And, you know, he got benched after the Houston game. I look forward to the next Houston game because he'll be matched up against Hopkins. My guess, he'll be very motivated. And I think that's a good free agent signing. I think he's playing football at a high level the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm impressed with him, and I've always liked the long corner. And, you know, that was the book on him, Tony, was that when you match him up against really good players, he did a really good job. I mean, he was a guy, you know, he did a great job on Julio Jones at time last year.
He'll get another chance this year.
Yeah, so I think that's good for him to play. You know, he's a press corner. That's what he is. He's a big physical press corner, and they got to let him do that. And, you know, look, again, they have the makings of a solid corner group there. It's not great, but they have the making. I think Colvin can still be a good player. And, you know, he's had some moments where he's regressed in the last couple of weeks. But I think all in all, I think
he'll be a good player, though. He's a good player.
Yeah. He's going to be a good player. They just don't have enough of those guys. They just don't have enough.
Pete, they have no one who can rush the passer.
Nobody.
Nobody.
If they don't create a loop or a stunt or something, nobody's coming close to the quarterback.
And it's a clean pocket. It's just there's nothing that affects the quarterback. And I'll give Flacco credit. When they blitz the number of times they blitz, Flacco got rid of it quickly before the blitz could get there. But it just – there's nothing. I mean, you have to be able to win. You got to affect the quarterback. At time, you're not going to do it all the time because it's as quick as guys get rid of the ball nowadays. But be in his face, make him throw uncomfortable, make him move his feet to throw the ball. You can't let a guy just stand there and sling it around the yard.
And with Sendarek Marks with a triceps tear now, that doesn't help matters at all.
Well, Sen wasn't rushing the passer great.
Right, but when he's healthy and ready, he's getting better and better.
Absolutely,
that
but you'd hope by the stretch run he'd get back. He's been playing the run good, but he still doesn't have his pass rush back, and now it sounds like we're going to lose him for the year. I heard correctly. He's getting a second opinion, though.
That was today, yes. So I haven't heard the result of that.
That doctor says he's fine. I don't know how that doesn't but typically
last,
work that
last
way.
Last time he tore triceps, I mean, that's a lot of times a season ender, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's –
oh, yeah, tricep, bicep, or
bicep you can play with sometimes.
Yeah, it depends.
Tricep,
on the role.
You can't.
The bicep, if it depends on if it rolls, right? If it rolls up like a window shade up your arm.
It depends where the tear is.
Yeah.
That sounds awful, by the
way. Loggeman had a season end on a bicep tear.
He had a bicep tear. He was done.
Yeah. Against the Bears, if I remember correctly.
He's not very tough, so we don't really expect we don't expect much out of Logs.
He's not even in the room.
You know what? You know what's funny? So? I bet if you looked, you would see that he missed fewer games than you did during his career.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, you just called him not being tough.
Have you ever heard of being sarcastic, Pete? I know you don't know.
I was just being sarcastic with you.
Okay, then right back at you, sarcasm.
Yeah, I didn't miss any games during the year.
Yeah. You're going to for being obese here soon. You're going to have to sit on the sideline.
I don't know what you're talking about. You're sitting over there eating like you're on death row.
I might be.
If they just bought your last meal and it's everything.
Give me the gnocchi and everything on it.
Gnocchi and cake and cannoli.
Oh, sounds so good.
They give them the menu. Yes, I'll have that.
Back to the defense. Let's go back to the defense. Without a pass rusher, this defense is playing well right now. It really is.
Which is weird. It's a weird dynamic when you think about it.
Which tells me if they can add – I mean, they're going to add a bunch of young players in the draft next year. And I think Dave goes majority defense.
All defense. Right?
Maybe all defense. You get, you know, Dante Fowler back. You get more speed at linebacker. you add another corner, free safety more than anything, and go draft another pass rusher. I'd be fine if they drafted another pass rusher with the first round pick, wherever that is.
Joey Bosa.
And just go and get after the quarterback. Because this is, you know, all the people that, you know, have questioned the coaching and all that. If you watch this team on tape and the way they play defense, they are a well-coached group. And they play sound, fundamental defense. And you can tell that by the way they stop the run. They are a tough, physical, well-coached, gap-controlled defense, and that's why they're so good against the run. And rushing the passer sometimes, Pete, and you know this, is you just have to have that. Like Michael Bennett, I was watching the tape today of this game, and one thing that stood out as I'm watching the All-22 is we don't have anyone with that first explosive step off the ball that gets into the chest of the offensive lineman. And even if they don't get there, just disrupts the pocket and makes it miserable. And the guy that came to mind, and probably because I watched the game last night, was a guy like Michael Bennett. Is, you know, he's, I don't know if he can do anything else, but what he can do is he gets off the snap, and those first two steps are explosive, and he is on that offensive lineman, and he makes it very difficult.
Cliff Averill, too. I mean, he's actually played better this year than
right. Michael Bennett is who came to mind.
Yeah, and Tony, yeah, you need – because and Fowler will be one of those guys.
As an offensive lineman, Pete, every time I watch tape, one of the first things I look for is what is the guy's first two steps like? And if he was a guy who was explosive off the ball, even if he wasn't a big sack number guy, I knew it was going to be a battle in the sense of I'm going to have to be really sound because he's going to be on top of me right at the snap.
By the way, you mentioned the run defense, still number one. Rushing yards per attempt, down to sixth in the league in rushing yards per game.
That's right.
I mean, then you go across the board and you look at the pass numbers. They're not great. And this is one that always
they're sixth overall against the run?
Yes.
That's pretty good.
And 21st, surprisingly, 21st in sacks per pass play. You'd think it'd be a lot worse, right?
Right.
But 31st, Tony, in third down. That's a problem.
What is that a reflection of,
Pete? Oh, yeah, that's a direct reflection of not being able to consistently win with your pass.
And having to blitz, and then you make yourself – if you don't get home, you better get home because if you blitz on third down and you run a lot of – you know, a little deficient in the coverage and you give a quarterback time, they're going to find it.
Well, think about it. You're one – number one rush defense per rush, yards per rush, right? And 31st in – third down. Those don't mesh.
No, they don't mesh at all because you're getting a lot of third down and longs. And I said it yesterday on the broadcast. I go, third and long, here we go again. We got to get off the field, and we struggle doing it.
Yeah, that's something that they have to fix with the draft next year. They have to fix with free agency. You have to fix with Fowler coming back.
We'll come back and look at the injury report. A few names piling up on the list after yesterday's game. Join Gus Bradley at the 6th annual McKenzie's Run, a 5K run and walk, plus a 1 mile fun run November 21st. Participants can watch themselves cross the finish line on the world's largest video boards, and the run benefits the McKenzie Noel Wilson Foundation and their mission to help young people recognize their potential. To register, visit McKenzie'sRun.org. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
JP Shattuck, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday. Jags win in Baltimore yesterday, 22-20. Time to go through the injuries from yesterday's game. By the way, Rashad Greene is eligible to return to the active roster Wednesday. We'll see what happens with some of the other receivers before making that move. Brian Walters is in the concussion protocol after making that catch.
Wait a second.
Yeah, what?
You're not going to wait to bring back Rashad Greene. He's coming back Wednesday.
Well, Wednesday he's eligible. That's when they can make the roster
move.
You
made it sound like they're going to wait to see the other receivers.
What it sounded like in the press conference.
Okay, great. He's coming back.
Okay, great.
So don't say dumb things.
I'm saying what I heard.
No, that's what you
– what I perceived.
Perceived.
Maybe I'm incorrect.
No, you are.
Hey, breaking news. He's coming back. Okay.
By the way, Brian Walters dropped a touchdown pass.
Yeah, he did.
But he's in the concussion protocol. Rashad Green's coming back. Bernard Pierce strained a calf. Pregame warm-ups did not play. T.J. Yeldon, foot injury, being evaluated. He was wearing a boot today in the locker room. That's not good
news.
That
worries me.
I'm not sure when he would have done it. You remember? Anything, even limping or anything?
No.
What's the injury?
Foot injury. Foot,
that's all they said. Foot.
And he said they reported it today. Like, there wasn't anything after the game.
It means he woke up with something, Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why would they put it in a boot?
Because, I mean, protected? Guys all the time getting a boot just to take all pressure off so you can play, come back sooner than later.
You think he'll play Thursday?
Yes.
Okay.
Nick Jacobs.
But I'm also being very positive because I have no idea.
Right. Yeah, why are you saying dumb things then? You have no idea.
Right.
Tony.
I'm allowed to.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Keep reading.
We're gonna get into some dumb things in a second. We're going to do the PFF.
Oh, grades. Yes. Awesome. Nick Jacobs, hamstring injury, being evaluated. Marquise Lee, clear through the game. Increased workload this coming week. Toby Gerhart, core muscle injury continues.
What does that mean, core muscle?
That's like kinda, I think that's down
something?
Abdomen, lower
can
abdomen,
say ab?
Groin, you know, hernia type of thing, maybe. That's one of those type of things.
That's so you don't have to handle the football.
Alan Hearns played through foot discomfort, core muscle injury. He was in Philadelphia today, a regularly scheduled visit to the doctor there for the core muscle injury. He's been playing through it all year.
He'll play.
And he's expected. We'll see.
Who's that, Alan Hearns?
Alan Hearns.
He's a tough guy, isn't he?
He's going to play.
Defensively.
Only seven straight touchdowns. I mean, that's it.
If somebody in this league wasn't a fan of a team or something and you wanted to gravitate to a young player that just has exceeded expectations and everything else, I think Alan Hearns is a great story. He really is.
I mean, yeah, it'll be interesting if he keeps on going at the pace he is at. Will anyone pick it up nationally that here's an undrafted free agent, second-year player, who is leading the NFL as far as consecutive games with a touchdown, has had a catch in every game of his career, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a remarkable story.
Yeah, I wonder if CBS, will, I mean, the NFL Network will do some stuff with him this week because, I mean, this is their first real exposure. Everybody knows him from fantasy football and the Allens and everything else, but this is the real exposure for these guys. Not a lot of people have seen him.
Seven straight games with a touchdown, longest active streak, longest in the league since Wes Welker had 8 at the end of 12 and the start of 13.
What's the record, I wonder?
13. Jerry Rice. 13 straight games.
But
Hearns is going to break it.
The thing about Robinson is they're not little chintzies either. I mean, he's averaging a ton of yards per catch, too.
I mean, they were both over 17 last week. I don't know what they are after the game this week. Defensive injuries. Cinderic Marks tore right triceps during the game. Second evaluation today. No new word on that, but usually a season ender. Roy Miller, left knee sprain, played through it. Dan Scuda continues to recover, did not play Michael Bennett. Same with a hamstring injury, and they'll continue to evaluate James Sample moving forward. There are your injury updates.
Certain players always hurt, don't they? Like, they're always on that injury report.
That, well, it seems like it, right? Especially when the year grows a little bit longer.
JP, you asked me, Hearns is 17 still, and Robinson's at 16.8.
Close, yes. All right, there you have it. Right, those are both very high, though, both of them.
Oh, they're fantastic.
Even still.
I mean, for guys that you don't think can flat-out fly, those are unbelievable numbers.
When we come back, PFF grades, Tony's favorite segment.
He loves it.
And phone calls. Phone lines about to open.
Two of my favorite things.
More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Had to come into place. We're not talking about, oh, why did Blake spike it? It was fourth down. You know, he knew the situation. You look at Julius Thomas. He caught the ball, and right away he got up and handed the ball to the official and hustled back. You know, that's been a coaching point through training camp. You saw receivers down 30 yards downfield and turn around and run back and get all lined up, and we made sure he had enough guys in the line of scrimmage. And a guy like Wiz, he's looking at the clock and snapping it with less than 2 seconds because he knows that's our only opportunity and for everybody to get set up. So I think there's so many things that had to take place in that last play for us to get that opportunity.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley on the final sequence, the fourth down play. The Jaguars win in Baltimore yesterday on a no time remaining field goal, 22-20. Jaguars Monday rolls along. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, And Pete Prisco down in Fort Lauderdale. Your calls coming up, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll get your thoughts about the game yesterday and the Jags moving forward to Thursday night here at Everbank Field. All right, Pete, Tony, it's time. PFF, Pro Football Focus grades this week. By the way, remember last week, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, Pete.
Steve Palazzo.
Steve said he would come on the show at some point and defend the grades.
He did. Yes, he did.
What do you think, Tony?
You know, him and I played phone tag, and we've yet to talk. I'm happy
he's
to have
good,
him on. I have no problem with – I just think the way they grade it makes no sense because they don't – you can't grade – as much as I know, if I had the coach's tape, I could do a halfway decent job of grading an offensive line play, individual players. I probably could grade the whole offense and defense halfway decent. Much better on the offense and the strongest would be the offensive line because that's what I know. But it would not be completely accurate because I don't know the game plan. I don't know the assignments. I don't know the scheme to the T, what the calls are, who made the call. Maybe the wrong call's made. Maybe it's on the center. Maybe it's on the quarterback, IDing the wrong mic. And the fact that they do it off a TV copy – Give me a break.
Well, then they come back and do it off the 22 copy. But here's the thing. You could tell if a guy's having a bad game or a good game. But it's not fair to him to give him a plus minus on every play.
No, because
nobody knows the assignment. You don't know who's blocking down.
So that's my problem. That's why these grades are nonsensical to me, and I don't care what they say.
Well, we're going to get into them, though.
All right, great. Here we go.
It's fun. We get it's like lighting a fuse to dynamite when we get you going here. All right. Allen Robinson.
He didn't do much.
Well, he finished.
Yeah. He had a touchdown. Yeah. Got a PI. I'd give him a plus grade.
Yeah, very little plus. Yeah. Mercedes Lewis.
Mercedes blocked. He blocked outstanding.
They got a plus.
The holding call they called on him was the dumbest. First of all, it was the back judge. He was 25 yards away. The side judge was 3 yards away looking at him and doesn't throw a flag. The back judge, 25 yards away, throws the flag, Pete. This is the worst call I've ever seen.
Plus. He is a plus. Luke Jokel.
I'd probably give a slight minus.
They gave a plus, and they gave him a solid plus in the run game.
All right.
You didn't like it?
I'm trying to go back through the whole thing. I would have probably given him, you know, break even, maybe a slight minus.
Okay. Beatles.
A minus.
He's a minus. Not a big minus, but a minus. Minus more in pass protection than in run blocking, which
okay,
is odd.
Yeah, I disagree 100%.
Wisniewski.
I'd probably give him a slight minus in the run game, and he was fine during pass.
Gave him a major minus in the run game, major minus, the worst grade of any offensive lineman, and a solid over 1.3 positive in pass protection for the biggest minus on the offensive line at minus 2.9.
So you had a positive in pass?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right, AJ Cann.
Positive.
He is positive. Positive in pass protection more than in the run game.
I thought he played well.
Jeremy Parnell.
Positive.
And in a minus. Gave him a minus 1.2 in pass protection.
Did that count the last play where he...
Yeah, he purposely missed the guy. He purposely missed the guy so he'd get a face mask. I thought that alone should give him a huge plus.
Three quarterback hurries, it says.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Julius Thomas.
Maybe there was. I don't know. I mean,
Julius Thomas.
I have to go back and look at it again. And here's the other thing, Pete. When I look at the All 22, I don't look at it grading. I watch the game overall.
Right.
Julius Thomas. My grades. Here's my thing. My comments right now are asinine. A little less asinine than Pro Football Focus, but they're asinine. They're stupid me making any comments because I watch it in high level to get see what's going on and scheme.
Right. You don't watch. You're not grading.
I'm not grading these guys. It's not my job.
All right. Julius Thomas.
This is an unfair grade because I expect a lot more out of him.
He got a minus.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I just expect
Allen Hurns.
Positive. Although there's a couple times. I thought of the pick. It was a terrible throw. It was a late throw by Blake. And I'm not a – I'd love to ask Jerry Sullivan this. But I get the sense that Hearnsey should have kept on working back to the quarterback and not allow Ladarius Webb to get the interception.
Yeah, you could see Blake Bortles kind of hit. I don't know if you saw it on the TV broadcast.
He was way late. Yeah, well, Blake was way late, yeah. But I felt like he should have been working. And I'd love to ask, because the comeback route, and he stops his feet. And I don't know enough. I'd like to ask Jerry Sullivan, should he have kept on working back towards the
ball? Yes, he should have. I could tell you that right now. But you could tell by Blake's reaction. He threw late, but he expected him to come back to the ball a little bit, not let the defense. But still, positive.
Blake should have thrown it outside, though, too.
Yeah.
He threw it inside.
Bortles.
Minus.
Major minus. Yeldon.
I thought Yeldon played, ran ball well. Plus.
Yeah,
and
he got
blocked
a plus.
Well.
How about pass
protection?
Yeah,
is he played
better?
Much better. Much better. Yeah.
They gave him a minus in pass protection. No, he didn't. I'm correct here. They gave him plus in pass protection.
Yeah, he should have.
Brian Walters is a minus. I'll just get through these guys. And Marquise Lee, major minus. Not major, but big minus.
One opportunity, dropped it.
And then Denard Robinson, a minus. You want me to go to the defense? Let's go to the defense.
Yeah, let's knock it out.
All right. Devin House.
If it's not a huge positive, then break your computer.
It's a good positive. Here are the other positives, I'll tell you.
Yes.
Let's put it this way. There are two other guys with positive grades.
That's it?
Yeah.
So you give up 80 yards rushing and you get two positive grades.
Three turnovers.
I'm not saying run defense. I'm just saying positive grade. Give me the two other guys that had positive grades.
I thought Avery Jones played well.
Yes, that's one of them.
Nice.
And I thought... I'm trying to think. I thought Telvin played well. I thought, you know who else I thought played well? I thought Sip played well.
They gave Colvin a positive grade.
All right. He didn't.
They gave Telvin.
Telvin's
got a minus in the run game, but a big positive in pass coverage.
Okay.
Everybody on the defensive line is in the minus.
Yeah. I love to see that when you give up 80 yards rushing and you're all minus. It's dumb.
Okay. Andre Branch was the big minus all the way across.
Well, in pass rushing, they should all get minuses because no one got there.
They all got minuses in pass rushing. The only person who got a plus in run defense was Jones.
Yeah, he played well. I thought Audric played well in the run too.
He got slightly below the
that's dumb.
Minus. And Marks was slightly below, but the other guy, Roy Miller, did he play one of his worst games?
He didn't play as well as he had been.
And Armbrist,
he had the knee thing though. He played.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He played better early too. Maybe he must have. I bet you his knee was bothering him.
What do you think of Armbrist? Made a nice play on one run play where he knifed in the back door.
Yeah, he read it well. Came downhill, made a nice play.
But he got
beat on a touchdown on man coverage on the tight end Gilmore. Yeah.
And he was playing.
Like, I don't even like doing this because if I'm who watches the All 22 and knows what they're trying to do, unless you sit there and there's 16 games, or I guess right now 14 games, whatever there is, unless you sit there and watch the tape over and over and over again so you can grade every single position, it would take to do the entire tape, offense and defense, to do it correctly. Because you don't know the scheme, so you have to figure things out as you're watching it, would take 4 or 5 hours.
Well, then that's what they do, supposedly.
Yeah, sure. What, a guy on each game? Is that how it works?
Yeah, they have a guy on each game. Tony, Armbrister was playing for Scooter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep.
So that's kind of a new position for him.
Yeah, I mean, he played Mike before, but they cross-trained those guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's a glaring weakness on that team is backup linebacker.
Yes. I agree with that. It shows up in special teams, too.
Yeah, and special teams are awful with a capital A.
Another big return on them.
Yeah, and almost another one on the punt return, right, late in the game when there was another return, too. Hey, that's just from guys going in and out and inexperience. That's what that is. I mean, you can clearly
Well, you know
that.
What I think it is, too? Too many offensive players. I was looking at our punt coverage team, and I think it was five or maybe six offensive players. I mean, you have Nick Jacobs, you have, you know, Neil Sterling.
Clay Harbor, a guy.
Clay Harbor. Yeah. I mean, just too many offensive guys.
Denard.
Yeah, I just think that's a problem.
Why don't they the kid supposedly has a big leg. He doesn't even get it out of the end zone.
Well, he only had one return, Pete.
You shouldn't have any return if you got a big leg.
Well, the rest of them were out of the end zone, Pete.
Okay.
Deep.
Well, that's one. That's one. That's one that he had returned.
Okay.
I don't like it.
Yeah, you have a high standard, Pete.
Yeah. Would he have been cut if he didn't make the kick?
That's a great question. Great question. Not for missing the 53-yarder. I think missing the 26-yarder.
That's what I mean.
But who are you going to sign? Who's out there to sign?
I know. They brought a couple guys in, and they didn't sign any of them. The 26-yarder was just like – I can't imagine what the look
was. It was a shank.
It was awful. I couldn't
I said he would have missed it from 15 yards.
Was there anything with a snap or the hold there?
No, it was clean.
I watched that today. I purposely watched the tape. It was a perfect snap, perfect hold.
Yeah, I can't figure out what he was doing because he didn't get any
of the
ball.
He missed it.
Did he miss the ball?
That's like when it's like when you're sitting over a 100-yard shot with your sand wedge and you shank it.
I've been known to do that. Just that's what I always say. I go, safest spot when you're playing golf with me, stand right in front of me. You're not going to ever get hit.
It was shocking. It was a huge play. I mean, that was a huge play. Brian Walters catches that ball. You're probably never even talking about having to scramble at the end of the game.
Yeah, that was an easy catch too. I thought
right through his hands.
Yeah,
I mean, and for a guy who catches everything, it was shocking.
I like the route combination where they ran him from the inside to the outside.
Oh, it was great,
and it was a great throw by Bortles. I mean, it was a terrific throw. But
because he missed on a similar route combination, he missed Allen Robinson for a touchdown in the third quarter. Where they were first and goal from the three. They did what you wanted them to, Pete. They spread them out and threw it first, second down, and tried to run it just like you like, and it didn't work.
Well, you got to block somebody, too.
Well, and if it's a well-thrown ball, it's a touchdown and first down.
Right, but you got to block somebody.
They had more guys. They couldn't – I didn't like the – I watched it because I was looking at it. Okay, I went back to it. Spread them out, third down, underneath handoff. They had way too many guys. They couldn't block them. There was more guys.
So, in other words, you got to check out of that play.
Yeah, you got. I mean, you can't run it. You can't run that play. There's too many guys to block.
Well, and the question is, does he have the ability to check out of that play?
I don't know that.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking with Brady Quinn today, and he was telling me when he was at Kansas City one time, he had to – they told him, run it no matter what, the play. And he came in the line of scrimmage, and he knew he had to check out of it, but he wasn't allowed to. And so he ran the play, and the play was awful. And he came to the sidelines, and Brian Daboll just jumped all over his butt. He said, well, what do you expect me to do? You told me not to change the play.
What do you mean not allowed to? What are they going to do? Like fire
a lot of teams.
Him?
A lot of teams.
There's locked play.
Locked.
Locked. Can't check it.
That's bad, isn't it? Tony?
Depends how much you trust your quarterback.
Does Peyton have locked plays?
No.
I didn't think
Did Brunell get locked? I would imagine yes.
I don't. That's a great question, Pete. I don't know. We had a lot of checks, though. I know that.
Well, you know how Tom gets so stubborn back in the day. I bet he had a lot of locks.
It's a good question. Yeah, but I mean,
Brunell, if you're listening, did you have locks?
I mean, it goes back.
You know he listens every week.
It goes back to, though, Pete, my argument with you after the London game where you said you didn't like them, and you don't like in general teams getting up in tight formations and trying to pound it into the end zone. You like when they spread them out. And my point back then was, either way, you have to execute to score. They didn't execute in London when they were tight formations. Missed the block here, missed the hole by Gerhardt. Should have scored. Plays were fine. Should have scored. They spread them out, first and goal from the three. What you want. Good route combination, guy open, missed him. And so it doesn't matter, is my whole point, whether you get it tight or you spread it out.
No, it matters.
You got to execute. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it matters. It matters. It matters. By the way, you could tell Toby Gerhardt to run through the tunnel and miss the hole.
Pete, just admit you're wrong. It's about execution. It's not X's and O's. It's Jimmy's and Joe's.
It's always Jimmy's and Joe's, but you need to make it easier by the X's and O's. Is it Jimmy's in New England with that offensive line? Is it Jimmy's and Joe's?
No, it's Tom Brady. It's one Joe.
Well, but the offensive line in New England had Brian Stork playing right tackle, Cameron Fleming playing left tackle, and rookies on the interior yesterday. Now, they got pressure yesterday, but
that's going to come back to bite them.
Really? So they're not going to win it all then?
I don't. Not with that group, no, Pete. And if Edelman's gone, no, they won't win it all.
And that, and Deion, in successive weeks, they've, well, over the past five weeks.
They shouldn't have
lost,
beat New York, by the way.
They lost Solder, they lost Deion Lewis, and they lost Edelman.
Mm. Was that a catch by Odell Beckham in the end
zone? I thought it was.
I did too. I mean, this is terrible.
I thought it was. You know, they keep saying you got to make, it's not even make a football move, but now it's.
They don't know the rule, Pete. The officials don't know the rule. He caught it. He had
two feet
inbound.
And then the ball got knocked out.
That's a touchdown.
Right. I agree.
Every game I played in the NFL, that was a touchdown.
Well, I agree. Tom botched the end of that game anyways, though. I mean, look, he got the ball 2:06 on a 6-yard line. New England has one timeout left. Then they had the 2-minute warning. The clock was winding down, so, you know, it had gone out of bounds, so it didn't matter. They used one of their timeouts. New England came out, and they threw that. I think they threw on first down to that play. So it would have been a touchdown. Okay. But on second down, they threw it again.
I think I would have run it, Pete. I don't. But here's the thing. I think what Tom's thinking, even if they run it and kick the field goal, Brady gets the ball back with over a minute, or right at a minute, let's say.
And no timeouts.
Tom Brady can get you in field goal range with a minute left. I mean, and so I think Tom's thinking right there, we have to score a touchdown to end this game here. So I'm not going to worry about the clock, because whether he has a minute 45 or
45
or a minute,
yeah,
that guy is going to get them in a chance to kick a field goal to win. That's what Tom Brady does. That's what Peyton Manning does. That's what the great quarterbacks do. And so I'm okay with Tom in that situation saying, I have to score. So I'm going to call the best plays in my playbook to give me a chance to score. And by the way, I'm first down. They did score, and they got robbed by the officials.
I agree. They did score, but I think when you come back on second down, you make them use that timeout.
And right? Then third down, throw it?
No, run twice.
And then Tom Brady gets the ball back with a minute 10
and
left.
No timeouts. Not a minute 10.
Minute.
Would have been a minute 10.
At least a minute.
Let me see. 2:06, okay.
They throw it for, okay, for now your second
down. You run it, goes to the 2-minute warning. Then you run it on a 2-minute clock, and
they call
the
timeout.
So down to a minute, what, 50?
Minute 55, minute 53.
Okay.
And then you run it on third down.
And it goes down to a minute.
No, it goes down to a minute 10, a minute 05.
No, if you run it on third down with a minute 55, it's going to take it down
to a minute. You're going to get the ball back with about a minute 5 left in the game on the 20.
A minute 5. Maybe.
Tom Brady.
And no timeouts.
Yeah, Tom Brady.
And as it turned out, he had fourth down anyway. You wouldn't, if that was in the exact same situation,
I know, Pete, but you can't make decisions based on that. You have to make decisions based on who you're playing and
hey,
what.
Look, I go for the jugular usually too, but I think in that situation he should have run the ball and used some.
I'm not saying you're wrong there, but I'm not saying Tom's wrong either. I think you can be in certain situations like this. I understand both sides of it. You're trying to end the game right there. And by the way, Odell Beckham caught it.
I would agree. So he should have won the game.
But back to the Patriots, it's going to come back to bite them. Let me tell you, you think that group's going to block the Broncos front?
No.
They couldn't block the Giants, who have the worst sack numbers in the league.
They've blocked the Bills' great front.
Not with that group. They had a bunch of other guys in there when they played the Bills.
Well, they play the Bills this week, so we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly.
Really? You think the Bills are going to beat them this week?
Yeah, I do. With that group? It's in
Jacksonville's group block the Bills group.
Bold prediction.
It's in Foxborough, though, right?
Yes, it's in Foxborough.
I mean, that group can't hold up. And now Edelman, who's going to win those underneath routes?
Amendola.
Come on, he ain't Edelman, bro.
They got LaFell back. And
oh, congratulations. That's great.
So who's the best team then? Cincinnati?
In the AFC?
Yeah.
Right now, I'll say this. Cincinnati playing Patriots with that group, I'm taking Cincinnati.
Is Cincinnati the best team in the league right now?
In the AFC. The best team in the NFC is the Cardinals.
You think the Cardinals are the best team?
Yes.
I think the Cardinals are very good.
Okay, Pete, let me ask you a question. Pick the stadium. I don't care where. Next week, Cincinnati plays New England. Who are you picking?
New England.
Who's going to block Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins, Pete? Who?
Tom Brady will get it out.
Oh, give me a break. You're an idiot.
Who's better, Arizona or Cincinnati?
I go Arizona, only because. Well,
they play Sunday in Arizona.
Yeah, I like Arizona.
Is Seattle done?
Yes.
We're going to get around to the National Football League coming up.
We will.
Are we taking calls tonight?
We are, and okay. That's coming up in just a moment. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Your calls coming up Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I don't dwell on anything good or bad. So, if the kick goes in, it goes in. If not, it doesn't. Go over a little bit in my head and then get right back to work. Just having the supports, it's awesome. From the team, the players, coaches, everybody. I don't really worry about, if someone support me or not. I don't think about, what you guys are writing about. I just go out there and same mindset every time.
That was either Bill Belichick or Jason Myers. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco.
I bet he didn't have that same mindset when he yanked it from 23.
It was a bad one, the bad miss. But got another chance, rebounded. I asked him today in the locker room, even on that last drive, it's fourth down, the clock's running. You know, it's a Hail Mary's fourth down. Like you may not get a chance to kick. You're still kind of in that mindset, though. And all of a sudden, you have to run out there and make a kick from 53. I mean, that's a pretty bold kick from that guy, Pete.
Yeah, it's a bold kick considering what happened earlier in the game.
Yes, I agree with
that.
I mean,
if he had made his earlier kicks, then it wouldn't have been, to me, it wouldn't have been a pressure kick because nine times out of ten, you don't expect a guy to bang home a 53-yarder to win it.
And not only that game, but what happened early in the season in Indy, too. I mean, he's had situations where he missed earlier.
And he nailed that one yesterday. I mean, that wasn't like it just barely made it over, right?
He made it by like 8 yards. Yeah.
Yeah, he banged that through. He's got a big leg.
No doubt. I mean, he hit a 58-yarder against Miami early in that game. Right?
They pulled Gus's shirt off during the celebration.
How about that? What was that? I mean, I heard about that. What happened there?
Let's put it this way. I'm glad nobody would ever pull off my shirt in front of everybody. You know what I mean?
Was it a bad look?
It wasn't a good look.
I look forward to talking to Gus about that.
Let's open the phone lines. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Chris on the west side has some comments about Tony's guarantee. What's up?
Oh, we haven't got to that yet.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Chris?
Snacks, biscuit. I love how you've been making guarantees without having any skin in the game whatsoever.
That's why I do it.
Writing checks, you don't have to cash.
That's right. It's like my wife.
I got a solution for you. Here's what you do.
Okay.
If one of your guarantees fails, you have to give up a single kind of food for a year. Like, if the Jags lose Thursday, you have to give up chocolate pudding or something. And we will know how serious your guarantee is based on the food you choose.
Oh, wow. He's speechless, in fact.
For a year?
Yeah,
make them give up pizza for you.
What
are your guarantees already failed? The 5-5 thing.
Yeah, I missed
that.
So
he had to give up pizza for a year. He's got to give up pizza for that one.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
I'll give up. What can I give up for that? I'll give up.
That box of food you just pulled out of your snacks. Are you kidding me?
No. I'm not going to do that. That's dumb. What's the good
Chris?
Well, we haven't heard your guarantee yet. It might be like the Jaguars are going to show up on Thursday. Well, good. That's a great guarantee.
Yeah, I'm not ready to make it. I said.
When are you going to make it?
I don't know if I'm going to
make
a guarantee.
Next segment. 20.
Oh no, you teased the guarantee.
I said I'm considering a guarantee.
Well, no, you said you were making a guarantee.
Time's almost up. You got to make a guarantee.
I don't have to make a guarantee. Yep. I already missed out on the 5-5. I'm out. Whoa,
there goes Pete. Pete's out. We'll get Pete back here in just a little bit.
Perfect. Hey, the show is right where we want it now. Let's go to the next call.
The real show can begin. Let's go to Caroline on the north side. Good evening, Caroline.
Yes. Congratulations to the Jaguars and Gus Bradley. Gus Bradley, he ain't playing the radio. He's the most improved coach over this month. He's doing an outstanding job lately. It's not Gus Bradley's fault now. We used to bash him, but he's doing such a great job, and I congratulate him for what he's doing. He is fussing at the players, and that's what we need. And lastly, I want to know how Brian Walters, is he going to be ready for the game Thursday night?
Brian Walters is in the concussion protocol, and my guess is based on where this league is right now, there's no chance he's playing.
No,
right.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
But then again, Teddy Bridgewater was in the concussion protocol last week, and he played.
Yeah, but it was a Sunday game. Different.
Yeah, but he's practicing on Wednesday, Tony. I mean,
if you pass the test, pass the test. It's stupid.
I
mean, he's fine. If you're fine, you're fine. I don't buy – I mean, you know me and the concussion thing. I don't want to get into that right now. But
so if Rashad Greene comes back anyways, then Brian Walters isn't going to be part of the rotation anyways, would you think?
I would – yeah, probably not because you're going to want Rashad Greene active as a punt returner for sure.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, Brian Walters makes it a tougher decision, man. Yeah. He's played well. He's
catches
good
everything.
Football.
He does
touchdown.
Yeah, he does some really good things.
He does. He's a very dependable – receiver. He had a nice wide receiver screen. He gets north and south. Very dependable on catching punts. I mean, Brian Walters is a good football player. So
yep.
I don't think it's just like, oh, he's Rashad Greene's back. Brian, you're done. Thanks for coming. You can hang out on the bench now. I don't think that's the case. I'm not ready to say that yet.
Let's go to Mac on the north side. Referees on Mac's mind. What's up?
Tony Vasili. Future mayor of Jacksonville, Florida.
Let's hope not.
And Pete Prisco in the house. What's up, fellas?
Good, Mac. How you doing?
What's up?
All right, here it is. My wife even brought this up on a cell phone. I heard it on NFL Network. I was told that the that victory that we had was wrong in the error by the officials, and the NFL said that we should have lost the game.
Yeah, and I got a message for the officials. You make errors every week that cost people games. So what is this? So and number two, it's a judgment call. And looking at it, I'm not sure he was moving. I'm not sure he was moving. Maybe you slow motion it. Maybe you could see a little bit. But I'm not sure he was. So the officials, I don't care. I don't care what you say. You miss so many calls every week. You cost the Giants a football game by making the wrong call there. You might have cost us the game last week in the Jets by screwing up two reviews. You screw up every week. What's different?
They want the victory back.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't care, Mac. I don't care what the NFL says. Guess
Angry
what?
Man.
It's a W. 3-6. Ravens, you're 2-7. Go home. You're done. It's over. We're fighting for the playoffs here.
Thanks for the call tonight, Mac. Got him going there a little bit.
Mac, nothing against you. I love you, Mac. I'm tired of the official. I'm tired. Because, guys, let me explain to all the callers what happens every week. Every NFL team sends a list of complaints they have to the league office, to the officials. Dean Blandino then calls all the teams and basically does this. Oh, I apologize, we messed that one up.
Or we didn't.
Or we didn't. But every week they're saying they apologize because they messed it. That's part of the game.
It's the human element.
Yeah, and there are always going to be mistakes. It's just that this is a timing or a penalty kind of mistake. It's not a bang-bang call kind of mistake. You know
but, Pete,
I mean?
If you go look at it, it's very very judgmental whether he was moving or not.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, go look at it.
I will.
We'll come back in a moment. More of your phone calls. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll go around the National Football League a little bit later as well. More Prisco and Vasili coming up. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, I had no idea if we were ready or not or what was going on, but I saw the clock ticking down, you know, saw it around 2 and just knew I better snap it or we're going to lose. And, you know, we all weren't ready, but Blake was ready enough, and that's all it took. Zane was turned around looking for the, you know, the leg kick to get it going, and we didn't really have time for that and just kind of snapped it anyway. Zane wasn't even looking. I don't think JP was ready. A lot of us, I don't think we're ready, but, hey, made a heck of a play, and Myers capitalized on it.
Stefan Wisniewski discussing the snap on fourth down and the situation for the Jags before the untimed down. The field goal won the game 22-20. Jaguars over the Ravens. Jaguars Monday rolls along. JP Shadrick, Tony Vasili, and Pete Prisco. And as we said earlier, I mean, that won them the game. The center looking at the clock and not paying attention to anything else.
That and Elvis Dermerville.
And Elvis, yeah.
Thank you, Elvis.
Thanks, Elvis. Appreciate that.
Tony, that picture that JP just sent me was fantastic, by the way.
Of me eating? JP likes taking pictures. I'm going to start sharing stuff with that he shares in the break if he's going to start keep on taking pictures.
Bring it on, big boy. El Gordo over
here. Hey, Tony,
here.
by the way.
Snacks?
I think when you get
it's
to this
point. Not a snack, this is a meal.
When you get to this point in the season with like 10, what is it, 8 weeks to go? Well, 9 counting your playoffs. You get to the point and you go, I'm starting to kind of adopt your philosophy. Like, all right. If I can work out 3 or 4 times a week and just make it through the season, then I can go full go after the season. So you wanted to do it after you said, well, if I eat whatever the hell I want, I can live 4 more years or 5 more years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Or 5 years less, yeah. You take that. Well, that's kind of my philosophy now for the rest of the season. There's nothing you can – it's almost like you got to just deal with it.
You got to fight through it. Got to press on.
But, I mean, what I'm saying is instead of trying to – diet and lose weight during the season, which is almost impossible, by the way.
Just do it after the season.
Right.
Or do it never.
No, it's fatball season now.
Oh, I enjoy eating. There's no doubt about that.
That's shocking news. Shocking. What is that, prime rib?
It was very good.
It looked like it was something out of Fred Flintstone's, meal, that thing. That prime rib looked like it was like a pterodactyl leg or whatever it is. That was huge.
It was good.
It's gone already?
No, it's not gone yet. It's working its way. We'll scalp and stuff. Yeah, he
does. And then he's going to go home and have dinner with the family.
Probably.
No, I'm not.
Pizza.
On Monday nights, my wife doesn't make her and the kids eat before I get home.
But let's get to these bold predictions you had, Tony.
Yeah,
are you ready? Are you ready for this?
It's a guarantee. It's not a bold prediction. It's a guarantee.
Oh,
take
yeah.
it.
I actually forgot what it was going to be.
Oh, no, you
didn't. No,
did
you
didn't.
Now you're just tap dancing around it.
Well, this is – it's not really a guarantee, but I look at where I
– So you're hedging your bet.
No, I'm looking where – Let me talk myself through.
You're
this.
Hedging your bet.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I just said, JP,
yes,
let me
you are.
Talk
no,
my
No, you interrupt
this.
Me all the time. Hedging your bet.
If the Jags are going to win this Thursday night.
Okay, that's
that
one
is
guarantee.
A done
that's
deal.
One guarantee.
Done.
Okay, let me write these down. Thursday night.
That's a lock.
W. Okay.
Now, I'm assuming, it's a lock. I'm not going to assume anything. I'm good. Then we play. San Diego
Chargers,
here.
Yes.
You know the 3 games that scare me remaining, Pete? What if you had to pick 3 games on the schedule that would scare you, what are they?
One would be San Diego because of the passing game.
Okay.
2 would be Atlanta because of the passing game.
Okay.
Yep.
And 3 would be
New Orleans because of the passing game.
Right, yeah.
New Orleans is the least scary because they're so bad defensively that you can probably score 100 points on them.
And Rex Ryan's getting it.
Rob Ryan.
Rob Ryan.
Yep. So they scare me the least. Atlanta and San Diego scare me because of the quarterbacks, and they throw it around at will.
But they're also
– But San Diego's home. No Keenan Allen.
And they're at home.
And they're at home. It's a long trip, and they're done. So we're going to beat San Diego as well.
Okay.
Then we got Tennessee.
So that'd be what, 5-6?
5-6. We at that point we will be tied for first in the division.
Okay.
And with the Colts who will lose this week to Atlanta.
Right, with the Colts. Then you go to Tennessee. I expect to sweep Tennessee.
Okay, so that's 6-6.
Because at that point, the Titans are gonna be mailing it in if they have not already. They're beat up and they're waiting for the next head coach is gonna be.
So that's 6-6.
Yeah, but I don't want to guarantee 6-6 because last time I guaranteed 5-5 and it hurt us. We lost the game coming out. So I'm not ready to guarantee 6-6 because that's where I see the season going.
So they're going to be 6-6 with 2 games left. I mean, with 4 games left.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the 4 games left are – go down the list. And
You got Houston, you have Indy, you have New Orleans, and –
Yeah, so after Tennessee, at Tennessee, it's home against Indy, at Atlanta, or home against Atlanta, at New Orleans, and then at Houston.
We played it out yesterday, and my guys said Jacksonville. All the guys agreed that Jacksonville was going 5-2 down the stretch.
That's a good finish.
5-2. That wins the division, by the way.
Yes. I said they're crazy. There's no way they're going 5-2.
Where are they going then, Pete?
Yeah, where are you? They got 7 games left. What are they going to do?
4-3.
4-3. That might get you in the. That might win the division as well.
Right. I mean, if you look.
So you're saying they're going to win the division, Pete?
I'm not saying they're going to win the division. It's saying it might win the division.
Tony, are you saying they're winning the division?
No, I'm not ready to say that. You gotta be. You can't. I'm not going to say that. To be the champ, you have to beat the champ.
All right,
you
let's play.
Beat
let's play out the Colts schedule. Ready? Because we did it yesterday. Let's see if you guys agree.
All okay.
Right. This is really Falcons bad radio, by the way. But keep
no,
going.
It's not. It's good radio. At Falcons.
Okay, I'll go Falcons.
Yeah.
Me too. Home against the Bucs.
That's a win for Indy.
So they're 1-1. At the Steelers.
It's a loss.
1-2. At the Jaguars.
That's a loss.
Home against the Texans.
That's a win.
2-2. At the Dolphins.
Ooh. That's a loss, ooh. I think, the way the Dolphins
particularly
are playing.
Particularly if Luck's not around.
Okay.
And then home against the Titans.
That's a win.
So they'd go 3-3. I mean, wait. Yeah, 2-4.
You're missing a game. They have 7 left.
Oh, and then the Jaguars game.
I see. We said that one. So they'd be 3-4.
3-4. Correct. 4 losses being to the Falcons, Steelers, Jaguars, and Dolphins.
Yep.
3-4. If that happens, and Jacksonville goes 4-3, they would win the division, right?
I don't know how the tiebreaker, because they'd be tied at that
and then
point.
Go to division. Then it would
and
go to
division,
division record.
And I think
and Jacksonville would have swept the Titans.
But the Colts would have the only loss would be to us. So the Colts would go.
Right. So you got to. That means you got to win one more game. Then you got to go 5-2.
Mm. Wow. By the way, Rob Ryan is fired. That's official now.
Yeah.
The report's coming out.
You wouldn't expect the Texans. The Texans could get. If they won tonight, that would be a
the
huge
Texans
win
are getting shellacked tonight.
Yeah, but if they won tonight, that would be a huge win for them.
Oh yeah, then they're right in it. They're tied for the lead,
and they have another game against Jacksonville at home.
Yeah, listen, Houston's sitting there right now saying we control our own destiny too. Don't kid yourself. The only team in the division who doesn't think they have a chance is Tennessee,
and they still have
they still have a chance too.
They really don't.
All right, here's Houston's schedule at Bengals,
loss.
First, the Jets at home.
Loss.
I don't know.
Defense,
I think the Jets
man
will beat them.
Yeah. Okay.
First, the Saints at home.
That's a win.
At Buffalo.
It's a loss.
First, New England.
That's a loss.
Mm-hmm. At the Colts.
They've never beaten the Colts, so it's probably a loss.
At the Titans.
That's a win.
And home against the Jaguars.
That's a loss. They're going to go 2-5.
Wow. Mm. Calling it, that's guaranteed.
So, yeah, that's a – so you're not
so basically,
ready.
Tony is guaranteed that Jacksonville's going to the playoffs.
I have not yet, Pete.
Yes, you, by
yes,
the
you
record
have
picks
by,
you just
by
made.
By picking your records the way you picked them.
Those are picks. There's a different – when I said the Jags were going 5-5, I guaranteed it. Maybe I need to put something up. When I guarantee, I'm going to start putting something up that costs me something.
You guaranteed a win Thursday night. So what are you putting up?
What do you want me to put up?
I don't care.
I'll say this. If we don't win the following Thursday when we do the show, after Thanksgiving.
So 3 weeks.
Whatever. I won't eat anything for the entire show.
So the Jaguars Monday after the Thursday game.
Yes, I will not eat anything for the entire show.
You know what that means, JP?
What is that?
That we got to get some like pizza place to like to
deliver.
I smell
it.
Ice cream, oh. Yeah.
I won't eat. I won't take a single bite. No snacks, no dinner, no food at all. Nothing.
Not happening.
Well, because the Jags are going to win. I guarantee it.
You wow guaranteed what? That they're going to win when? Thursday night?
Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Okay.
And if all they right lose, no food for you on Monday.
None.
Zero. Oof, good luck
not
with that.
That's not good.
We'll come back. We'll go around the National Football League. Final moments of Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final moments of Jaguars Monday before we go around the National Football League. I can actually hear you, Tony, getting fatter
oh
in front of me.
That was good.
Moaning hey, and making noises, slopping it. El Gordo.
I love eating.
It's finest.
I love eating
right now.
Hey, Pete.
Yo.
You know what JP said in the break?
What's that?
He thinks J.J. Watt is a fraud. And he's tired of seeing all these stupid pregame, you know, hitting the bag and
yeah
throwing footballs
into
the
fans. We see it every stupid week. I'm kind of tired of it.
He thinks he's a fraud. JP's not alone in those sentiments, though, around
no,
the league.
No, he's not. I've heard that from other people. I've heard that from people around the league.
I'm just tired of seeing it like it's a big deal. Like, okay, great. He's shaking hands with the – I mean, doesn't anybody do that?
You know this better than anyone else. Do players think he's a fraud?
Some.
Ah, so I'm not off.
No.
Yeah.
Some do.
Even more importantly, do guys on his team think he's a fraud?
That I've never heard. That's like, you know, that would be like people saying back in the day that you were a fraud on that team. You know, you were the guy that everybody looked up to. So no, I would say no.
But I want to make sure clear. I was not in the pregame of hitting bags and throwing footballs to kiddies before every game either, though.
No, you weren't. But this is a different time, too, Tony. No matter what you did during pregame, you would have been, nobody would have saw it.
So they think that you think if I played in these days, it would have been a big deal when I walked out with my cleats, walked to the middle of the field, took two pass sets, and walked back into the locker room.
No, what would have been a big deal?
And then took a nap after I drank, and then drank 8 cups of coffee.
No, when you called out Jason Taylor in that game, it would have been much bigger than it was then. It would have been gifs all over the place of it, and gifs and whatever they call them, and vines and everything else.
What is a gif?
When somebody takes something and makes a
little mini video.
How do you do that? How do you make a gif? Do you know, Pete?
No, I don't. In fact, I have gifs on all my stuff I do on Thursday when I break down tape. I have to send it to some kid. He does it for me.
Is it gif or jif?
Gif, whatever the hell it is.
You know what we're talking about.
Is it hard to do?
I don't know. You just saw one.
I know. I don't know how you do
Tony,
it.
But, Tony, I mean, it's such a different time now. It really is. I mean, you saw
Yeah,
the
but people
run.
Thought – people. There was a lot of talk in Hard Knocks that he was a fraud, Pete.
Yeah, I know. Did you see
– I mean, I don't know him. I have no idea. And frankly, I don't care.
I know.
I've never met him. I've never talked to him. I don't know what he is.
I have, and I don't think he is.
You don't think he is?
I don't.
But here's the thing. You're a little bit of a jock sniffer, and you wouldn't say if he was.
Oh, bull.
You want the next interview.
You need the story, yeah.
You want the next story with them.
You're
a jock sniffer.
You know me better than that. I never sniffed a jog in my life.
That bothers Pete so bad right there. Even though I know it's not true, and he knows it's not true, just the fact that I said it bothers you.
Gotta get that
scoop. Hey, Tony, but think about, like, Dez Bryant's locker room blow up the other day, okay? It went. You saw it, right? It went viral, went everywhere. It was all over the place.
I actually never saw the video, but I read about it. Yeah.
Okay, how many of those a week were there in the Jaguars locker room with
Could
me
you imagine
Ocher?
When we roped off the area that wouldn't allow people the Pete Prisco free zone?
Hey, Tony.
And one time
story.
Someone – I don't want to say who it is, but Pete can if he wants to – threatened Pete's life that he was going to beat the you-know-what out of Pete.
Kerry Walker.
I mean, threatened him.
Yeah, but not
today,
only that.
In today's NFL, Gary would have been suspended if that had got out.
Well, what about the one Vinnie Clark threatened to blow my car up and he screamed it at me on the practice field?
Yeah, he did.
Could you imagine today?
What did you do, Pete?
I don't know.
Pete was a pot stirrer, man.
But think about that, though. Now, Vinnie Clark was on the practice field, ran like a by me, and screamed, "I'm going to blow up your car, Prisco."
Yeah, Gary Walker threatened to kill him.
Numerous times, and actually
didn't Brian DeMarco try to physically assault you too?
Yes, he
did. You're a popular guy here, Pete.
Brian DeMarco swung his helmet at me once coming off the field. Me and Osher were standing there coming off the field in Detroit. I thought he was going to kill us.
What did you write?
Everything. He wrote everything. Pete was a good writer, but he was a pain. Pete and I got along, but I would give Pete a hard time in the locker room.
You were my deep throat. Of course we got along.
Deep throat.
Okay, jock sniffer. That's as true. That right there is as true as you being a jock sniffer. But what I would do, even though Pete and I go back and forth, but one time Pete did something that made me mad. And so we drew a big taped off area around the entire offensive line that was Prisco free zone, that Prisco was not allowed to cross the tape.
Or what?
I don't know. It was just fun.
And it lasted about half a day. And then
I think one day it would happen. Then he was allowed back in.
Yeah. It was you and Leon kind of were the leaders of that whole thing.
Yeah, it was fun, though.
Yeah, it was all fun. But sometimes they weren't all in fun. They got nasty.
What about in Dallas? 0-7. Still realistically have a shot in the division if Tony Romo comes back. But Greg Hardy, late for meetings, missed meetings. They're 0-5 since he came back. And the best thing I heard, since he left Carolina, they haven't lost. And since he started playing in Dallas, they haven't won.
Well, not just him. Dez Bryant, catch the ball yesterday. They got a third down play, and he drops a pass right in his hands. They would have continued to drive. They were winning 6-3. They punt. Tampa Bay goes down and gets the game-winning touchdown. Late in the game, at the very end, they have to play in the end zone where he gets bumped by the defensive back. He complains about it instead of trying to catch the ball. Doesn't get a call. He laid up on it. I mean, it's a bad situation.
That's a mess.
They're done. They're done.
Jason Garrett, isn't he coming back? Romo's coming back next week. Right?
So what? They got back-to-back road games. Now they got to go to Miami and Romo. Who knows how rusty he'll be?
Yeah,
they're done.
I agree. Garrett just signed a new deal. He's safe though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's safe. They're done though.
You know who should be fired? Is Jerry Jones.
Yeah,
Jerry Jones should fire himself as the GM.
Yeah, but Tony, you take away the
best comment of the Greg Hardy's a leader in our locker room.
Yeah, I know. That's ridiculous. But you take away a starting quarterback of any team in this league, quarterback, they're dead.
That's not the problem. It's chaotic there, Pete.
Oh, it is chaotic. It is chaotic. I mean,
it lacks
supposedly
leadership.
Hardy
it lacks
and DeMarcus,
leadership.
Hardy and DeMarcus Lawrence got into it on the sideline yesterday, too.
Jeez.
They're done.
Spiraling down in Dallas. The streak is over. The Lions won in Lambeau.
What is wrong with Aaron? Hey, I'm doing the Vikings-Packers game this weekend, Pete.
And you are? I'm breaking them down in tape for Thursday.
And I'll be there. I'll go. I'm going to talk to you. Are you going to be here Thursday night then?
Yeah, I'll be here.
I'll talk to you about it.
Because
I'm going to watch the tape. But I want to find out what is going on with Aaron Rodgers in that offense.
Well, the receivers, just off, and I haven't gone back and watched their games yet. I've glanced at a couple of them, but the receivers aren't winning, A. I don't like the design of the offense right now. I mean, they got to start doing things to get the guy. Bunch him up. Get him in formation where you pick and cross and everything else. They don't do that.
Well, they don't have that one guy that they had in Jordy Nelson who could win in press coverage.
Right. The guys can't win. And Randall Cobb, Jacksonville wanted to pay, by the way.
He's not getting Randall Cobb maybe remember in 96, before the 96 season, where we didn't get a couple guys we tried to pay?
Yeah.
Will Randall Cobb go down as that guy?
Well, I don't know. They got – because they didn't get Randall Cobb, they got Julius Thomas, so maybe not.
Good call.
Ben Roethlisberger.
I'm not so sure they wouldn't have got both, Pete.
Yeah. I don't think they would have got both.
Ben Roethlisberger replaced an injured Landry Jones and threw three touchdowns. Steelers.
Well, then why isn't he starting?
That's what I wanted to know.
What is he, Walt Frazier?
Yeah, I didn't get it. He's not starting, but he's active. Then he comes off the bench and plays. It's almost like that's an insult to the Browns, right? I mean, so they were sitting there saying they could win the game without
That's exactly what they're saying.
Yeah.
And I love Big Ben.
Tough.
But the question always about Big Ben, Pete, is he a little overdramatic with the injuries? I don't think he is. I think he's a tough guy. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and I think he's one of the best quarterbacks of his generation. But, that's the word on him, and people have said that.
Favre was a little overdramatic with his stuff, too, remember? And Steve McNair, another one. Just go play. Tom Brady just goes and plays.
Peyton Manning just goes and plays bad.
Yeah. Plays really bad.
Is it over, Pete?
It looks like it.
I said it was over earlier in the year. You said way too early. It's not over. He'll figure it out.
Now it looks like it's over.
So you were wrong. So you were wrong.
Looks like it. Yeah.
Make sure you record that, Joe.
Big day for Adrian Peterson, over 200 yards. The Vikings are in first place.
They're for real. They might be the best team in that division.
Mike Zimmer, and they're not getting much run to Teddy Bridgewater either, which is pretty amazing. But Mike Zimmer's a hell of a coach.
Great defense.
Yeah, he knows how to play. He knows how to put together a defense. They did a great job on the Raiders yesterday. They got good young talent on defense. Draft and develop. Look at the guys they got. Barr and Kendricks and Xavier Rhodes and Harrison Smith and Sharif Floyd and, Linville Joseph is playing as well as any defensive tackle in the league on the inside. I mean, they have talent on that team.
I'm looking forward to doing that game this weekend.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. That's a big game for the Packers, man. I just can't see him staying down. I think Mike McCarthy needs to take over play calling duties again. I think Tom Clements is a bad play caller.
Give it
to Edgar Bennett. Give it to Jacksonville's own Edgar Bennett.
They're not going to give it to Edgar Bennett.
Hey, he's got input into it. I hope he.
Okay, he's not a good football coach.
I hope he's not the.
But
input
I'm just saying they're
the
not going to give it to him. They're going to give it to Tom. Mike McCarthy will take it back before he gives it to Edgar Bennett. Is my point. He might give it to him next year, but I don't think he'd give it to him in the middle of the year.
No.
Monday Night Football. The Houston Texans at 3-5 head to the jungle to face the undefeated Cincinnati Bengals. I think you guys already mentioned who you got tonight.
Remember the one Cincinnati was one of the just worst places to play, and it was a terrible crowd, and it was easy to go there. I was there a few weeks ago. That place, man, it rocks.
It's the back being the jungle.
It is a great atmosphere, great fans, and that is one heck of a team.
That's a
They're the
stadium.
Best team in the AFC right now. They're better than the Patriots.
Then you think they're the best team in the NFL then?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a great matchup against the Cardinals because I think Cardinals are very, very good.
I do too.
I think it's going to be
unless major injuries happen. I think it's going to be next week's game. Cincinnati, Arizona will be a preview of the Super Bowl in San Francisco.
Is that a guarantee?
No, because too many injuries can happen.
One last thing before we get out of here. Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw Nick Foles being sitting
down. Benched.
Case Keenum, nice trade.
I mean, was it a good trade for Philly?
No. That's what you
get. Bradford's hurt too, right?
Was the worst trade in the history of big trades.
It's stiff for stiff is what it is. I mean, look, if you don't
But didn't we know that, Pete? Now, which one of them got the second rounder? One of them got a second rounder included.
Philly got a second rounder. They drafted Eric Rowe, the corner. That's why Jacksonville fans, I'm going to say it again, you should be thankful you have your quarterback.
How about one of your guys that you listed at the beginning of the year is if one of these guys is your quarterback, you're not going to the Super Bowl. Or you're not going to the playoffs. Kirk Cousins was in that group. Perfect passer rating yesterday. Now against the worst defense in the history of mankind. But Gruden coming out today saying Cousins is a guy we want to sign.
Good. Have at it. Let's see him string together two games before you do.
Hey, 8 touchdowns, 1 interception last 3 games, Pete.
Yeah, 2 of them against – one of them was against wait. He had 2 good games sandwiched around a bad game. He had 2 good games against Tampa Bay at home and against New Orleans at home. Go to Carolina this week, Kirk Cousins, and then start screaming you like that, okay? If you go to Carolina this week and you do some good things throwing the football, I'm not saying even win the game, but you throw –
That's my upset pick of the week.
Ooh.
Redskins.
Another guarantee.
No, it's upset pick.
Oh.
You like that?
Pete, they're going to win Thursday night?
Jacksonville will win the game Thursday night, yes.
That's a guarantee.
Tony? Yeah, I think it's a 10-point victory.
10-point?
I think it's a game that's decided late third quarter, and they comfortably win in the fourth.
You heard it here first. Pete, we'll talk to you next week.
You got it, fellas.
Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli, Joe Fortunato, everyone involved. This is J.P. Shadrick. Thursday night football coming up at Everbank Field this week. That's it for Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.